Heavenly Father, we thank you for the glory of your name. We thank you, Lord, for what you have done for us. And Lord, as we come to your word now, we ask, Father, that your Holy Spirit would minister its truth to us, that, Lord, that you would uplift us, encourage us, and, Lord, just challenge us, Father, in our daily walk with you and with one another. And we thank you, Father, again for the privilege of being here. And may you and you alone be the one glorified today. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen, amen. Amen. Well, it's we had a wonderful day at the men's breakfast yesterday. We were fed physically, but we were also fed well spiritually, amen. And it's always good to gather around God's word like that, God's word is always exciting, no matter how many times you hear it. And I've preached this passage of scripture many times, and it always brings joy to my heart. It's one of those passages I go to quite often, just to read about how great our God is and what He deserves. And it's a beautiful thing, and to be able to have the privilege to read God's word and to study it and to look into it, because we're always finding something new. While there's only one interpretation, we have many applications, amen. And this is a passage of scripture that is really fits that bill. And we see that the death of Christ here is has brought people to sing the glory of His name. Isn't it good? As Christians, we love to sing, don't we? We love to sing. We love to sing out praises to our great God. And this is one of those passages where we see that. And, you know, I've studied many things, and especially cultures. I like to look at different cultures around the world. And when it comes to death, they have many ways of how they experience that and how they respond to that. Yet I would say most, if not all, though, mourn for the loved ones that are lost. And that's understandable. You know, in Genesis 23:2, Abraham, he mourned for his wife Sarah. And it says there, Sarah died in Kirjath Arba, the same as Hebron in the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. Now, you would think there that the words mourn and weep would be the key words, but it's actually the word came, because the word came indicates it was a ceremonial mourning. In other words, they would show their sorrow in honor of the dead. And especially in Jewish customs, they have hired mourners who wail and weep and sing at funerals to honour those people who have left this world. Now, as God's children, we meet such things as death. If we don't get raptured beforehand, we will. But we don't meet them the way other people meet them. See, when a child of God passes from this world, we must remember the amazing fact that there's a resurrection, amen. And when a child of God goes to be with the Lord, he looks forward to that. And that gives us who are left behind, it relieves the loss that we feel. In fact, it gives a different character to our sorrow. Now, a man or woman of faith, those born again, can stand at the grave of a brother or sister or a husband and wife, a loved one, know that while the body might be going into a grave, it shall not be there long. See, the man or woman of faith knows from Scripture in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, Paul says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which sleep, that ye sorrow not even of others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." You see, the redemption of the soul, it secures the redemption of the body. Now, for the believer, their soul goes to be with the Lord straight away at the moment they die from this world. But for the redeemed body, we're waiting. Romans 8:23 says, "And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." Do you know, many at the death of our Saviour, they wailed and they mourned as they seen their Lord, their Messiah, the promised one, on that cross. And he seemed to be helpless. He was nailed into place. He couldn't move. He couldn't do anything. They had seen people curse him. He was there. He had his beard ripped out of his face. People spitting at him. Look, the thieves in Matthew 27:44, they also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Even those beside him being crucified mocked him and spurned him. But one soon repented. In Luke 23:39, it tells us he believed on the only begotten Son of God and was saved at that last moment. He changed his mind about who the Lord was. He could see what was happening. You see, and death, while it seems to have so much sorrow about it, and we understand that, and as we've come around the Lord's table today, we contemplate the death of our Saviour, and we're saddened about the circumstances. We're saddened about what took place and what happened to him. It was terrible, but brothers and sisters, it wasn't final. It wasn't the end. Listen, there's no sound of mourning in heaven, amen? When we get there, no one's going to be weeping and crying for eternity. You see, the funeral song of the crucified Lord does not wail with the weight of death. It sings forth with the sound of victory and praise and honor and glory. And all the saved one day will gather around that throne and we will sing victory in Jesus, amen? That's what's going to happen. Now, our text this morning, chapter 5 of Revelation, starting at verse 8. I'll read that again because I want you to get it clear into our hearts and minds this morning. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And hast made us unto our God king and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such are as in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. What a glorious passage of Scripture. Who could not be encouraged about that? Who could not envision in their spiritual minds what the Lord has done for us and the position we will be in and the hope that we have from this glorious passage of Scripture? Worship, glory, honor. All of that being given to the Lamb of God who was what? Slain for the salvation of the world. If you're here today and you don't know that, I hope by the end of this message you do. That you understand it. Because there's no hope without it. This world is going nowhere but downhill fast. Every day is getting closer to the bottom. And the day that it hits, you need to be saved before that day. Worship and praise for the only Redeemer, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing else, no one else can save you. Only He can save you. He's the only one who is worthy to open the book of seals. And all who are saved and those from the rapture, they're pictured there. And what are they doing? They're singing, not some old song. We love the old hymns, don't we? We love them. I love them to death. I wake up with them in my head. I go to bed with them in my head. They're wonderful. But here's a brand new one. This one hadn't been sung before. They're singing a new song. Is it mournful? No. Is it depressing? No. Is it singing about, oh, woe, how I've had a hard time? No. Certain music sings all that stuff all the time, doesn't it? It's not a song of doubt or distress. It's a song of praise. This is a new song, Thou Art Worthy. And it tells us how we are redeemed. It tells us from where we were redeemed and where we are at this time. Listen, what a glorious future belongs to those who are in Christ, those who have been born again, those who are saved. Listen, we will face many tribulations on this earth. We will go through many trials, but the believer will not have to face the great tribulation. And amen for that. Those who are in Christ will be where Christ is. They will be in the glories of heaven. Now, verse 8 said, when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayer of the saints. And here we have four creatures, 24 elders, all the prayers of the saints, and they're leading the chorus. The object of their worship is the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is the will of God that men and women should honor His Son. Amen. John 5:23. That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Do you know how we honor the Lord? We honor the Lord by confessing He is Lord. You see, those who refuse to honor the Son dishonor the Father who sent him into this world to save them. And there are thousands upon thousands who state unashamedly that Jesus was nothing more than just a teacher. That's what they say. But he was God in the flesh, and God the Father is greatly honored when we honor his Son. And we do that by confessing that he's our Savior. We honor the one, and we honor him because he was dishonored for us. You notice the position they were in. They fell down before him. Not all over the place. There wasn't Christians lying all over the floor, crawling everywhere. That's not scriptural. It's not biblical. They fell down before him. In other words, they were in a place of adoration and worship. They were giving to the Lord the highest degree of reverence and worship. They were showing great love and respect for their Savior, and they're using harps, which were instruments of praise. They had vials full of odors, which signify the prayers of the saints. And what a wonderful picture that is for us of how prayer and praise should go together. And here they're offering praise and prayers to the Lord, and they're not singing any song, not old song, nothing like that. It's a song that was never sung before, a new song, a glorious song that says, Thou art worthy. Only Him. No one else. He alone was worthy to open the book of seals. In other words, they're acknowledging no one else was fit enough to do so. No one else was worthy to open and to administer the counsel and purposes of God. He alone deserved that honor. You know, it's wonderful to know God. You know, God bottles up prayers. These prayers are a sweet perfume in His nostrils, and these prayers here are used in worshiping the Lamb of God. And that's after He's declared worthy to open the seals on the scroll. And that made me come to the question for myself, I wonder how many prayers I've sent up to be bottled. I wonder how many prayers, how large a vial would God need to hold my prayers? Prayers of praise, prayers of adoration, prayers of surrender, prayers of submission to Him. I wonder how big the bottle would be. Now, first point, this song tells us how we're redeemed. Verse 9, they sung a new song, Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. First of all, there you see we're redeemed how he was slain. He was slain. He was a sacrifice for sin and sinners. You think about this. He was offered up into the hands of very cruel men on behalf of those same men, on behalf of all people throughout this world. He was the Lamb of God who came to take away the sin of the world. And he has. He's taken away the guilt and the shame. Listen, as a believer, we are no longer under any condemnation. He carried the blame for us and he has set us free not to continue to live a life of sin, but to live with victory over sin, to walk in righteousness and holiness before him. We're redeemed because he was slain. Secondly, we're redeemed by his blood. Redeemed where? Look what it says there. To God. He has redeemed us to God by thy blood. You know, Hebrews 9:12 tells us, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. You know, we know that in the Old Testament system, God's presence was inside the veil of the temple, and no one but the high priest could enter in, but only with the blood, otherwise it was on the loss of his own life. And that's a picture of just the power of the sin and the power of the flesh that separates us from God. But now the Lord appears for us in the true temple as our high priest. You know that God has granted the Lord has granted us access to God, to his throne of grace, through the shedding of his blood. You see, what his blood did was to open the doors of heaven to us. We don't have to go through any man to reach God. Amen for that. We're no longer separated from God. We are joined together with him through his Son, the Lamb of God, and his shed blood. The Lamb which God gave to us as an offering on our behalf. And this redemption, if you see in here, is for all people. Whosoever will may come. Salvation's not kept from anybody. It says every kindred and tongue and people and nation. You see, redemption, being saved, isn't for one class of people. It's not for one race of people. It's not for one nation of people. It's not for a certain elect little group of people. It's for the whole world. And if you're here today and not saved, God wants you saved. That's why he sent his Son. That's why he shed his blood. It's for anybody. If you think you're not good enough, guess what? None of us were good enough. But God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, anybody who believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Didn't cost us anything. Cost him everything. You know, one day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. See, there's no difference. No one's better than anyone else. Romans 3:23 tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 5:8 says, while we were yet sinners, while we were in that state, Christ died for us. And Romans 10:9, what a beautiful verse. That is, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's a promise. See, it's not because of who a person is or what language they speak or what country they come from. Salvation is by Christ, in Christ, and through Christ alone, nothing added. See, Christ redeemed his people from the bondage of sin. He's taken away the guilt of sin. He's taken away the power of Satan and has redeemed us all back to his heavenly Father. What a wonderful position to be in. See, we've been set at liberty not to do what we like, but to serve him and to love him, to enjoy him. Do you enjoy your Savior this morning? Do you enjoy the walk that he's put you on? Oh, but you know how, don't know how deep the valley is, Pastor. Guess what? He's with you. I'd rather be in the valley down deep with the Lord Jesus Christ than there on my own. And I thank him that he's with me on the mountaintop too, because pride will have me thinking how good I am. Amen. No amens for that one. We must all be on the mountaintop at the moment. But that's what it is. See, we've been set at liberty. What a blessing. The question is, are we a serving Christian? Are we? Are we a surrendered Christian? Are we a submissive Christian? Have we called upon the Lord and says, Lord, here I am, send me. You see, serving, surrendered, and submissive Christians will do what God asks of them, will go where he sends them, and will obey his call upon their lives. Now the hymn tells us, as you're all on the altar, a sacrifice laid, does the heart, the spirit control? Are we willing to just let God be God and have control? Just hand it over. Don't worry about anything. Say, Lord, I'm yours. Many are ready to say, Lord, my family is yours. My children are yours. Lord, I'm going to serve you as a husband. You know what I'm going to do, Lord? I'm going to love my wife the way you said and surrender in love to lead her in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. You prepared to do that as a husband this morning? Wives, are you prepared to submit? And by submit, I don't mean everyone thinks it's a horrible word. But are you prepared to surrender and just walk with your husband as he leads you? Trusting him, leaning upon him. Listen, men, they can't do that unless you love them right. And I wouldn't expect a woman to do that if her husband didn't love her right. Have you surrendered to the Word of God as it leads and guides, as it tells us where to go, what not to do, what to do? Does the Spirit have control? Are we willing to let God lead? Secondly, what redemption means to us. Look at verse 10. And God has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Listen, see, redemption has exalted us from a lost state. See, we had no hope, we had no future, and it has made us kings and priests. Why? Because he purchased that redemption through his precious blood. And that's where we are. We are now seated as kings and priests. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people that should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Revelation 20 verse 5 says, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that had part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Isn't that amazing? We will reign with him. See, if you're born again, you're somebody. And I don't mean that in a prideful way. But you are somebody. See, through the blood of Christ, you've become a priest and a king in God's economy. And listen, you do not, and I want you to get this clear, you do not have to bow to any man, and confess your sin. You do not have to. Yes, we confess our faults to one another. If we hurt someone or say something wrong to them, we ask for their forgiveness and say sorry, but we do not have to bow to any man and confess our sin. We are now sons of God. We're now hid with Christ in God, and we sit together right now in heavenly places. And no one can take that away from you if you're a born-again believer. Nobody. Now we're kings. You know why we're kings? We're kings to rule over our spirit. See, we're kings to overcome the world, to overcome the guilt, to overcome the devil. You know, 2 Peter chapter 1, we're given a list that we're to add to our faith. These things don't give us faith, but we're to add to our faith. In other words, or before that, in Ephesians 6, we're told to put on the armor of God. See, there are things that we do after we're saved that help us make us become more Christ-like, that give us strength. And it's through the enabling of the Holy Spirit who lives within us that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. It's the enabling of the Holy Spirit that enables us to become more Christ-like and to be conformed to the image of God's Son. You see, as priests, we have access to God. I don't have to go through anybody. We have access to God to offer up spiritual sacrifices and wonderful things. We will reign on this earth. We will reign through the millennium. We will judge with him in that great day. Now, verse 11 and 12 says, "And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them were 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.'" Listen, if you got a dictionary out and you looked up the meaning of every one of those words and offered them up for God, I'll tell you, there's an hour of prayer. Oh, praying so hard, not if you're on your knees before God acknowledging who he is. Look his names up in the Bible. What a blessing to offer those back to him. We see here now the voice of many angels. Now the angels are adding to what the saints are singing. The angels begin to praise God. They know too that only he is worthy. And Jesus will receive everything that's due to him, and this world and its wicked ways is not going to win. He will reign and everyone will be subject to him, and he alone is the one who deserves the honor, the glory, the blessing, the power, the riches, the wisdom and the strength. Now, can you count the number of angels? I remember once adding up on a calculator, and that's a lot of numbers, over 100 million. Who are they? They're attendants of the throne of God. They're guardians of the church. And even though they don't need salvation, they rejoice and they give praise for the salvation of sinners. You see, angels never knew the joy that our salvation brings because Jesus didn't die for angels. 1 Peter 1:12 tells us angels desire to look into the salvation that we have. Hebrews 1:14, they rejoice, they delight to serve the saints, the heirs of salvation. It'll be their joy to serve in glory. Revelation 21:12. And you notice here, who's singing? The saints all around the throne are singing. Angels aren't singing. The text tells us the angels are saying. Only saints sing. Angels say. And they're agreeing with the church. They're acknowledging that Christ deserves all the praise and honor for what he has done in dying for sinners. That he alone is worthy to receive that power, those riches, the wisdom, the strength, the honor, the glory and the blessing. He deserves it. And he deserves our best in serving him while we're on this earth. While we have the opportunity to do so. You know, so many people need what we have. So many need to see in the believer what it really means to be saved. The joy unspeakable, the mercy that's unexplainable, the grace that abounds through a person filled with the literal life of Christ in the person of the Holy Spirit. The world needs to see it. They need to see Spirit-filled Christians. Christians overflowing with the characteristics of Christ. They need to see Christ-like wisdom and knowledge and patience. They need to see Christ-like brotherly kindness and love. They don't need someone thumping them on the head with what religion should be. They need to see Christ at work through us reaching out to them. You see, the lost person needs to see in a believer that little piece of heaven and what it really means to be saved. You see, we have the only message that can save them. And the reason we're left on this earth is to get that message to them. To live a life before this wicked, ugly world that has been cleansed and made right through the power of the shed blood and the death of Christ. I need to see that Christ, the Lamb of God, was offered as a sacrifice of sin so man could be put back in a right relationship with their Creator. And the message needs to go out today because the Bible tells us today is the day of salvation. And brothers and sisters, be assured, there is a day coming, and I hope you're listening today, there's a day coming when it'll be too late. There is. I don't say I'm not trying to scare you, I'm just trying to warn you. There's a day coming. It'll be too late. You know, Satan, he held a strategy meeting one day. He wanted to keep people away, people who were very close to getting saved. He doesn't care while they're running around doing everything, but the moment they start to get close to being saved, the moment they start opening God's Word and reading the Bible, Satan starts to get busy. And he doesn't want them to make a decision. And he got all his cohorts together one day and he says, well, listen, what are we going to do? Now, one of the demons, he thought, well, I've got the answer. Let's tell everyone there's no life after death. People just have one chance and that's the end of it. But Satan said, no, that won't work because man's not ignorant. Even an atheist will admit at times that they sense something after death. Another demon said, well, here's the solution. Let's say there's no God, and if there was, well, he's dead now, so we'll just leave it at that. Satan said, that won't work either, because most people know that there's some sort of God, even though they won't seek him. Other ideas were put forward, but none brought any hope to Satan and his demons. They were about to shut the meeting when one jumped up, screaming in joy. He says, I've got the answer. And all the demons gathered round to hear his plan. He says, let's go and tell them that God is real. Let's go and tell them that the Word of God is the truth. It is God's Word. And all the crowd, they were horrified. And he continues, he says, and then let's tell them that Jesus is the Son of God. That Jesus sets men free from their sins. Tell them that Jesus will give them eternal life. And Satan says, man, what are you trying to do to me? They were horrified. And he said, then tell them, don't make that decision today. Just put it off till tomorrow. It's okay. God don't mind. You don't have to make the decision yet. Read your Bible every day. Pray every day. But don't make the decision to trust Christ. Help them make excuses to delay their decision. There's no hurry. There is. Because if you died today without Christ, you will spend eternity in hell. Nothing surer than that truth. If you died with him, you go to glory. What a wonderful song we hear. Worthy is the Lamb. The church proclaims it. The angels proclaim it. Now the whole creation is proclaiming it. Thirdly, what does redemption accomplish? Verses 13 and 14. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such that are in the sea, and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honour and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb for ever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth for ever and ever. See, all of heaven, and earth rings with the praises of the Lord. All creation is saying Amen. It was by him that all things were created, and all creation will give honour to the Lamb of God. Romans 8:21 says, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. And we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. But one day, all will give glory to God. It is praise to him that sitteth upon the throne. It is to God the Father, and unto the Lamb it tells us who liveth forever and ever. They both receive the praise and the glory. You see, we worship and glorify the one, same God, for our redemption and our salvation. And think about this, we will rule and reign with Christ on this earth, and if that's the case, what devotion he deserves today. The church and the angels, the creature will reign. And notice that they finish as they started, reverently bowed before their Creator and Saviour. And they will worship him, the slain lamb, the one who was the object of praise and adoration forever and ever, because it was the lamb who redeemed us with his blood. Oh, how we should be worshipping him now. What practice we should be putting in, amen? It was the lamb that said, not my will be done, but thy will be done. And because he was willing to say that to his heavenly Father, he was able to finish his ministry. Do you know what he said? It is finished. It is finished. The work of salvation was accomplished, and he fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law, and he glorified his Father in heaven. And he purchased redemption for anybody who wants to come to him. He tasted death for every man, Hebrews 2:9 tells us. And from the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, God gave man a choice to choose his way and eternal life, or reject it and to choose their way, man's way, and eternal damnation. And God sent him into the world to die for all. And all who accept him as their Savior will be saved. And it's amazing. Every song ever sung is going to give way to this one song. To this one song. Now can I ask, will you be in this group? Will you be in this chorus? Are you becoming tired of the day in and day out struggles? And you're wondering if there's more to life than the life you're living right now. You've seen a lot of religion. You've listened to a lot of laws and bondage. Listen, religion is worshipping something. Salvation is worshipping Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. See, doing the best you can is not salvation. Being the best you can is not salvation. There are many who are being and doing good, but that's not salvation. Isaiah 64:6 says that all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And it took God's best, his Son, Jesus Christ, to save us. And all our righteousness, all our goodness will not save us. Only the Son of God can keep a soul out of hell. No one else. You see, joining this church is not salvation. Taking the Lord's table this morning is not salvation. Being baptized is not salvation. We should do all those things because we're already saved. We're commanded to do all these things. Bep. baptism. It will not save a sinner. Listen, we're baptized because Christ commands it after we're born again to be baptized. Because you know what? It's not the washing of water that saves a person. It's being washed in the precious blood of Jesus Christ that takes away our sin. Three things make up a gift. First, they've got to be a giver. Amen. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Second, there's got to be a gift. Mark 10:45, Jesus said he came to be a ransom for many. And thirdly, there's got to be a receiver. That's you and me. And Jesus says to our hearts today, if you've already been saved, amen. If not, he says, whoever you are, you may come. You may come. John 1:12 and 13 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe upon his name. Listen carefully. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, not our natural selves, but of God. Now, have you had enough of this world? Do you believe Jesus died to save sinners? Do you believe he can save sinners? Do you believe he can save you? That's the question. That's the question. Don't get caught up in the devil's meeting room. Don't become a part of his minutes of his meeting. I'll wait till tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. If you can say, yes, he can save me, well then, amen. Don't delay. Today is the day. Come and join this choir. What a choir this will be. Come and join in the song and say, worthy is the Lamb. Amen. Now for the saved who are here today, are you truly surrendered? Honestly, are you really willing to just say, Lord, whatever, I don't care? Is that surrender? Are you truly submitted and ready to serve no matter the cost? No matter what they say about you? No matter when they laugh at you? Well, then today is the day to put yourself into his hands as a lump of clay and let the potter mold you to what he wants you to be. All for his glory. And the people said, amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. What a simple passage of Scripture. What a simple truth. What a great God and Savior we have. And we pray, Lord, that no one would leave here today. Not one, not the lost, not the saved, until they've surrendered themselves completely to you. Father, we thank you. And once again, for knowing that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has washed away our sins. And we will be in that chorus in heaven. And may we be found worthy of you. For the lost here this morning, Lord, may they not leave until they join the choir, that they be able to sing the song, Thou art worthy. Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful love and grace to us all, to this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.